Tonight, we chat with one of our favorite actresses, Rose Abdu, about her busy schedule in the upcoming Gilmore Girls movies. Then I get the feeling Dr. Lars Dingman will be calling in. All that and more right now on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
Hi, Craig.
Hey, Patty.
I just said hi to Rob Martier, and he said he was going home because...
Yeah.
But he's got news to do, so he can't.
Right.
He's got news to do.
I'm so sad.
It was an overtime game. It was a tough played game. It was good.
Didn't this happen the last time? And then the Blackhawks did pretty well, I think, last year.
They do well under the gun.
Yeah. But St. Louis win in overtime last year in the playoffs?
I'd have to check.
I'm pretty sure this happened.
Went as expected, though. I mean, look, it was tight.
Yes.
And the problem, when you don't score during a 5-on-3 power play, bad things happen.
Yeah, all over the place. It's hard for me to follow hockey because I didn't grow up listening to it. But here's what I heard a lot of. Deflected.
Shot wide!
And a butterfly. I think it was a butterfly stop. Is that one of the things I heard?
Butterfly save?
Yeah, butterfly save. Yeah. Yes. And also into the safety net.
Into the safety net. That doesn't sound good.
That did not sound good. That was a puck that had gone and cleared the boards. But yeah, it sounded like it was a hard-fought game. One of the things I was reading before the game was there is some thought that if the Blackhawks had won the first game, they would win the whole series. But that's okay. They didn't say that if they lost the first game that they wouldn't win the whole playoff round with the Blues, right? Right. By the way, does anyone know what the score was for the Cubs game tonight against the Reds? Esmeralda, any guesses?
Winning, yes. Lots of points.
Tons of runs.
I was thinking about 2 years ago when the Blues beat the Blackhawks in triple overtime.
You're still on the Blackhawks. That's okay.
Yeah,
okay.
The Blackhawks.
You know, it's not good to move on, right?
No, last year it was not. They played the Predators in the first round. I know Nick is sitting somewhere thinking.
With his head exploding?
Yeah.
Why are you getting
this wrong? You can't say that.
Yes, I didn't even try figuring that out.
Right.
But the Cubs?
The Cubs, they did well.
9-2.
They are.
Do you know why?
I do. I know exactly why.
My husband wants me to stop doing this to you, by the way.
Okay.
He said it's kind of cruel.
Right. Well, it's fine.
But the Cubs are annoying. I can't even say it anymore because my husband told me that it's gone too far. But the Cubs are announcing their presence.
With authority.
That's right.
Yeah, they are.
Now I have to watch
Bolter. I'm not a Cubs hater. I mean, I don't.
I didn't say you were.
Yeah. As a Yankee fan, I don't really care about the Cubs until the World Series.
You have to care when they're
as a Chicagoan, I care about the Cubs.
Yes.
But from a baseball perspective, I have a different team that I like.
From a baseball perspective, you have to admit this is getting off to a wonderful start.
It's really getting off, after a person goes down, the fact that they're still, you know.
Yeah, they bounce back after that loss with Kyle Schwarber. It's very exciting. Esmeralda, how was your day today?
It was good. I went to Aldi.
You went to Aldi? I heard that they're changing their suppliers and bringing in all kinds of like organic or healthier food choices.
There was a lot of organic. I got coconut milk there. Unsweetened coconut milk.
Do you like coconut
milk? To drink.
Do you drink, but do you drink I don't, it straight? Or do you put...
I never drink any of those non-dairy milk straight.
Uh-huh.
I put them in stuff.
Like coffee or tea?
No.
Oh.
I make smoothies and things with them, but I don't drink them straight.
That makes sense. You were asking about smoothies a while ago.
I was.
And did you end up finding a protein powder that you like?
No, I haven't. I haven't.
All right, I'm gonna
dove into it.
Because... I'm gonna bring you a batch of the whey protein mix that I have.
Because I used to buy a protein mix. It was just protein, but then there's all these like superfoods and green things and all these powders and stuff that I keep seeing, and I'm like, well, what's good?
Well, let me
do these. They all have like funky green plant.
Exactly.
Powers.
Right. Depends on powers. All of a sudden,
that's what I like to think.
You're able to crawl walls. That would be a weird
I like to
power.
Think they give
that's
me
amazing.
Superpowers.
I already crawl walls. And I don't,
they
no,
give you plant-specific superpowers?
Yeah, maybe. I can grow flowers really quickly.
That's amazing.
I ordered, water me and sun me.
I ordered,
this is getting weird.
I'm the same way. Water me and sun me. That sounds really good.
I don't know what you're saying.
I do.
The Blackhawks lost. We were talking about the Cubs. And now we're watering both of you.
We're talking about protein powder. Okay. That goes right into being athletic. And
yeah, I wonder what they use.
I know. I'll
to
bet
keep
you...
going? All that overtime? Oh, my gosh.
I'm saying. I bet you Patrick Kane uses some whey protein powder.
Then it was the fact that it was 0-0 for the longest time.
Yeah. All three periods.
Pretty much the whole game.
All those guys, I would just be on pins and needles if I was them, freaking out.
Well, they've been here before. They've done all this before.
Yes. So
they have both lost and won overtime games in the playoffs.
But then you can't even relax for like a second.
It's
like
you're,
because at any moment something can happen and someone can be ahead.
How well do you think?
Well, just because it's 0-1, like if you have a buffer.
Exactly, you're right. That's exactly how hockey works.
But at least moment, if you had a buffer, can you ahead. Can kind of be like, okay, we can be a little calmer.
Well,
but
that's
they're just.
That's the thing about overtime is it's sudden death.
Yeah.
And then that, I would not do well as a hockey player.
I don't know. Craig said something, they won, and I was like, oh. No, he said we lost.
Yeah, I said
they
won. Yeah.
I did not like that at all.
Yeah,
don't say those things to me again.
Okay.
All right, you can tell.
We'll just lie.
When
it's accurate.
It's fine. Don't lie. No lying. No lying at all. But I'll bring you some of my whey protein powder because I bought some on Amazon, and I'm not really good with like what does 5 pounds of protein powder look like? That's massive. That's a huge vat.
I mean, how much is sugar? Like I think of a sugar, like a thing of sugar.
How much is that? Like a pound?
That's just a pound.
Yeah. So I have this thing. It's like it doesn't even fit in our pantry.
Oh my goodness.
I'm terrible at that. When I order meat at the deli, like how much meat do you want? I want like 3 pounds. I don't know. Like what's the right amount?
I usually go pound.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't go past pound.
I never understand. I can eat a 1 pound cheeseburger though in one sitting. So
yeah, but this is sliced.
I don't understand the difference.
How much meat do you put?
I like
a
to watch them slice and go. That's enough.
Okay, so you just eyeball it.
Do you tell them enough for 4 sandwiches?
I didn't know if I was allowed to do that.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Because they always go into this other area. They cut the meat very secretively.
But
it's never near me.
You know what you can do, though? So they put it on the scale, right? And
uh-huh.
then don't they always go like, oh, is that good? Because if you look at the weight, sometimes it'll be a little over or under.
Right, but I couldn't. Could I say like 3 pounds, and then they stack 3 pounds there, and I go, "No, that's obviously too much. Can I go back to a pound?"
Well, I mean, they'd be a little angry at you. I wouldn't go back.
I would not be the customer behind you. I'd be like, "Oh, I'm so sorry. My elbow hit your jaw."
Or
you would be the super, super customer and be like, "You know what? Give me those 2 pounds.
I'm gonna take those."
I think you know what to do with 2 pounds of meat. More after this on 720 WGS. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. Did I see correctly that Bruce Springsteen canceled a show in North Carolina because of their anti-LGBT legislation?
Yeah, and then I believe some of the people there called him a bully.
Oh!
Yeah. Like the mayor or somebody. Somebody in North Carolina said that Bruce Springsteen is a bully for canceling a tour because he disagrees with, you know, that horrible thing they passed.
Yeah. Here's what I thought of today. And because I was thinking, we haven't talked that much about the campaign in the last couple of days, probably to the relief of many. This is what I will say. I think that a lot of this, as hard as it is, as frustrating as it can be on both sides of the political aisle, and I think there's actually more than just both sides. There's so many people that just want to go, hey, I'm not with these people. I believe this very strongly, but not that crazy stuff over there. And that's true from every angle. Part of the outcome has been conversations that we weren't having anymore because people thought that racism was pretty much taken care of because we had elected a black president. And people, you know, the idea that a woman could be president has also been, you know, challenged because there are all these conversations about the way she looks and the way she sounds and how that really has any impact on who she is as a candidate. There are a lot of other things to judge her on. So I think that the conversations have been are good. I think it's better to know that we are that these voices are there. I wish that we could encourage, when it comes to, you know, ideas that are racist and sexist and isolationist. Someone was telling me that, you know, Donald Trump's, he wants to go back to isolationist America from before World War II. Well, one of the reasons that we got into World War II, the reason that that happened was because we are isolationist, because we said, you know what, let the rest of the world take care of themselves. We don't want to have anything to do with that anymore. And the problem with being such a superpower and having all the resources that we do, the military, the industry that we have, maybe not as much as we did in the 1930s, is if we do that, if we turn our backs on everybody, then we end up in a similar situation.
Yeah. No. By the way, I just want to correct myself real quick. It was not the mayor of North Carolina.
Oh, did you say mayor?
I said the mayor or somebody.
I think North Carolina should have a mayor. It sounds like a place.
Yes, that makes sense. North Carolina, as Republican Congressman Mark Walker
has said that makes
him
a bully.
Springsteen is a bully for canceling his North Carolina concert.
Why does if they believe that strongly that they should stand behind their legislation, then, and someone disagrees with them? I mean, this is where we go round and round on this. Okay, those are your beliefs. These are our beliefs. We're going to maintain this legislation.
Right.
You don't like it. You don't have to. He doesn't have to bring his.
There's a petition on change.org that has over 500 signatures in a small amount of time that says Bruce Springsteen, because of his deeply held beliefs, is allowed to refuse service to North Carolina.
Right.
Which is the exact kind of way that they term those things.
This reminds me of this open letter I saw. We haven't really talked about this much. This bar owner that refused service to a patron who was sexually harassing some of the women that worked there. I just saw another thing on Facebook, but the customer was saying, look, I apologized. You know, maybe you should grow thicker skin. And that's always been sort of the counter argument to being offended. You should grow thicker skin. OK, maybe offended is not the correct word. I wish you didn't treat me that way. Is that a better way of, you know?
Yeah. So I'm
if you didn't talk about my boobs, that would be really nice.
I said really horrible, insulting things, but I'm sorry now. So get over it now.
Well, what they say is, I'm sorry you're so sensitive.
Oh, wow.
That's the way people talk. Right? They'll say, I'm sorry you took it the wrong way.
Look, it was just a joke.
It was just a joke.
You didn't have to get all mad.
I was telling the story about Chris Farley the other day, and I realized as I said it out loud, I'm like, yeah, I mean, I just laughed. Chris Farley walked up to me. There was a big party at Second City, and he shoved his head in my boobs. I wasn't wearing anything low cut, but I'm busty. He shoved his head in my boobs, and I had just started doing comedy. I was maybe 20 years old. He shoved his head in my boobs, and he said, "Nice to meet you, girls." And I just stood there, and I didn't do it. Nobody did anything. It was completely acceptable. It was funny to other people. Oh, look what he did. He just walked in, he just put his head in her boobs. And it was humiliating, but there was nothing I could do. He was a celebrity. I didn't feel there was anything I could do. If I did, I felt like I was going to be the bitch at the party. And, you know, we're expected to, and when I was a server, the kinds of things that people would say when I was working at Grizzly's Lodge wearing lumberjack outfits, you know, big black pants and a flannel red and black checkered shirt. And they would still sexually harass me. It doesn't matter what you look like.
It has to be up to more than just the victim to be defended. Like the people around, I've been to, you know, Hooters and places sometimes, and I've seen someone just acting completely different. There was a time at Tilted Kilt where me and a bunch of friends saw this guy that was just acting like he was at a strip club instead of a restaurant.
Right.
And that happens. And what we need to do is the surrounding people need to come to your defense a little bit more.
And people, it's hard to get involved.
Yeah, it really is.
Socially, it's awkward because what do you say? Where do you feel like your role is?
Mm-hmm.
And I do the same thing. And plus, have I ever told you that I interjected myself in a situation that apparently wasn't necessary?
Oh, no.
There were two kids sitting near me at the McDonald's Navy Pier, and the woman was talking to them in a way that sounded very threatening and sort of a like controlling, like they didn't want to be there, like but more than just like being obnoxious. But they were very quiet and seemed scared, And I'm like, do you need some help? To one of the kids. And I felt weird because I really felt like, and I didn't know if I should tell this woman not to talk to them because were they her kids? Was she a nanny?
But God forbid it's the one time where it really is something bad.
But why would she have them? Yeah. But why would she have them at Navy Pier if she kidnapped them?
That's true.
That would be weird.
That would be a little weird. That's a rough decision. Kidnap her. She's learning as she goes.
I still say something. I'm
yeah,
one of those.
No. I think especially when kids are involved that you err on the side of
caution.
Yeah, speaking to the kids directly like you did and saying something to make sure, you know, and then gauge the situation from there.
What if you don't like someone's parenting style?
That's
tough. I saw a woman at a thrift store say, "If you don't shut up, I'm gonna kick you." And
that's not cool.
Yeah. I don't know what to do about that. That was really uncomfortable. I mean, you can't even be passive aggressive with somebody like that. Like, seems like
you're so funny. You shouldn't kick children.
No, that sounds a little aggressive.
Right.
I don't know what to say to that.
Yeah.
I'm going to kick you.
Really good question. Yeah, I don't know. But I always, whenever I see kids and I think that there's any chance that I do try to do the same thing you do and interact with the kid somehow to make sure that they are okay.
That they're safe.
Right.
Yeah, but if someone says they're going to kick their kid, they're never okay.
Right. That is never okay. Even if it's just a threat, that would be wrong.
Yeah.
Even if your kid is just afraid of that without you ever doing it.
Is it wrong that part of me just feels better that I know I'm not that parent?
Like, yeah. I'm no, like, I think that makes sense.
I'm doing a really good job.
Mm-hmm.
I've never said I'm going to kick you. One time I told Griffin to shut up when we were playing video games, and he got really mad at me because I didn't know how to use the controller, and he was getting really snotty with me.
Yeah, that happens, though.
And I was like, shut up. And he still, 7 years later, he still remembers.
Is that the exact way you said it?
Shut up.
Wow. Yeah, that's not that bad at all.
That's the worst thing I've ever said to Griffin.
How does he bring it up?
Just randomly when he hears someone else say shut up, he'll be like, Mommy, remember when you said that to me? Yeah, he just brings it up like that.
Mommy, would you pass the salt, or do I have to shut up again?
He doesn't bring it up that often. But okay. 7 years ago. He has such a memory. He doesn't have a photographic memory. He has an auditory memory. No, that's not true. He remembers places and activities. He remembers things from when he was 2 years old.
Make sense.
It's
no, I don't have memories of myself.
He has a stuffed animal snake that we got, and he remembers. He's like, I remember when we were at IKEA and we got this. Like, we've been to IKEA maybe 4 times in his whole life, and he remembers getting that snake when he was 2 years old.
You know, my little brother does that sometimes with memories when we were kids, and I just think he's lying. I just pretend all those are not true. They're really specific and they seem really accurate, but I don't remember that, so it's probably not true.
I was just thinking about this today, about my earliest memories and, like, the most traumatic things. Mm-hmm. And my mother says, do you remember things your own way? I have a different story. Well, we all have our stories. More after this on 720 WGN. Listening pretty late, and Craig and I are both very excited to welcome back to our show on the phone, because someday we'll have her in the studio, but right now we have Rose Abdu on the line. She is one of the stars of Gilmore Girls and a lot of other shows you watch, like she's been on Scandal and The Grinder. And I just saw, by the way, Rose, that you and I were on a set together at one point.
We were?
Well, I don't know. It depends on which scenes you were in. My Best Friend's Wedding.
Oh my goodness, yes. I think, were you in a bigger scene maybe at a restaurant or something?
I was at, I was in one scene that was cut. I was just an extra a lot. They kept putting me in a lot of stuff, but I was at the bachelorette party that got cut.
Oh my gosh. That movie, I went in to audition for that movie, mm-hmm. and I just imitated my mother because the director wanted a bridal gown seamstress. My mother makes bridal gowns. My mother actually lives in Detroit. She lived in Detroit, and she made Bob Seger's wife's wedding dress.
Really?
So she used to see the commercial. I guess it was Chevy or Ford. And they'd play, and she'd say, Rosemary, did you know that man who sing like a rock on the commercial? Come on, that's Bob Seger. He's done a lot more than that commercial. Mm-hmm. So she beaded his wedding gown. But anyway, they wanted a wedding, you know, that character. And right. I thought, I can't miss. They want a foreign seamstress with a Spanish accent. So I did it. And at the audition, after I finished doing the character, because there were no lines in the movie, I just improvised a bunch of lines. And the director went, oh, that's such a real character. Would your mother, and I told him it was based on my mom, and he said, would your mother like to come and audition for us?
Oh, my God. You're like, wait a minute.
No, I'm not going to compete against my own mother because I know she'll get the part over me.
Yeah, the director was a little bit strange. Were you only in that scene for the bridal fitting, fitting
Julia Roberts in the purple bridesmaid.
Right.
Dress.
Because I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, I worked on Bad Teacher a couple, you know, years later, and Cameron Diaz said, you look so familiar. She goes, we worked together, and she remembered everything about the day.
Oh, how funny.
She was really cool.
Well, it was an interesting film that was being shot here, because that director was very tense at the wedding scene. I was at the bachelorette party, I was at the wedding, and it was very hot at that church, and he lost his temper quite a few times.
Oh, my gosh. It was a very tense shoot all the way around, I think, because it wasn't easy.
No.
It was a
hot summer too, so it wasn't easy for anybody, but it's a fun movie. How was that auditioning in Chicago, going out for stuff like when they ask for these characters, because you have become a character actress?
I loved it. I figured out all my life I would watch movies and my eye would go right to like Mary Wicks or Kathleen Freeman or all these older character actress ladies that would pop up in the movies as, now she's a nurse, now she's a maid, now she was a nanny, now she's a secretary. I was most fascinated by a character actress. I found an old journal, and it said, you know, if I could only have a career like Mary Wicks. Very few people know who she is. But I realized in the last couple of years, wow, I really have achieved my my goal.
Well, and you are one of those faces, and you do such a great job of sort of, you know, becoming these very strong women in whatever role that is. I mean,
enjoyed being, you know, and lately, it's so funny because I was helping my friend organize her closet, and she's an attorney, and I thought, what would it be like to have, like, attorney clothes? Because I have to have in my closet a little bit of everything.
Right.
So if I have an audition to play a doctor or something, a secretary, a housewife, and the very next day, her name is Stephanie, and the very next day was my, I got cast in The Grinder as Judge Stephanie. And then right after that, I'm cast as a judge in Veep. And then a senator in Scandal, and I also did a hearing, so I had to bang a gavel, and I had that desire to play like a lawyer or a, you know, my favorite show when I was a kid was Perry Mason, believe it or not.
Wow.
So it's really been very fulfilling to me. The Veep hasn't even come out yet. I'm in two episodes in the fifth season of Veep.
Well, and you're seen in Scandal where the vice president's wife, and I can't remember, Millie is giving that.
Yes.
She's filibustering. You're so stern and you just give her the cold shoulder.
I'm so mean.
You're so
Linda
so
Moskowitz. Linda Moskowitz got to be so mean. I kind of based it on like a Gloria Allred, real tough attorney kind of lady. And I loved giving the press conference about impeaching the president.
Oh my God. All of it was just delicious. I mean, that show just drips with absurdity, but all that care. I mean, I don't know. Do you watch the show by any chance?
I do. And I was very lucky because I was supposed to be in one and the writer told me that Shonda Rhimes herself saw it. And then I ended up being in four altogether.
Yeah. Shonda Rhimes is great at seeing great talent.
Thank you. That was really exciting. I hope to work with her again. I think that her shows are just terrific. Like I would love to be in How to Get Away with Murder and be an attorney opposite Viola Davis. That would be a great dream of mine.
Well, The Catch is great, too. I've been watching that show.
Yes.
And it was so much fun to see Alan Ruck pop up on that show.
And my friend, Nia Bardalis, very good friend of mine since I'm 20 years old. We've known each other, 22 or whatever. She is going to do a three-episode arc on The Catch.
Really?
Yep.
That's a show people should be watching. It's just there's something about Shonda Rhimes and the way she portrays adults, but with sort of the still high school mentality of having a crush.
Grey's Anatomy was so much fun in the beginning, you know.
Yeah, having a crush, wanting to get revenge, who likes who, all that.
Right.
It's just so much fun. What was that, Craig? Oh, wait, let me put your mic on. I got to roll you up.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. I am so impressed by you. Yes. I'm so impressed that you've waited so long. But we have to know about Gypsy. We have to know what's going on.
I was getting to that, Craig. She's got a lot going on.
No, it's totally fine. Gilmore Girls is coming back.
We are having so much fun. It's such a weird experience because we'll look at each other like in a town meeting scene and go, has it really been 9 years? Like, it's crazy how much everyone's still just as enthusiastic, and it's just as fun. I had forgotten what long hours it was. I thought, oh, yeah, we'll get this done right away. And those town meeting scenes take so long to shoot. But we're really having a ball. And now the weather is really cooperating, because back in the day when we did Gilmore Girls, I think I've said this to you guys before, if it was supposed to be really cold outside, it was beastly hot, and we all had to pretend it's a crisp fall day in Connecticut. And it was never, you know, it was always the opposite of whatever the weather was supposed to be in the show. This time we got really lucky, and when we were filming winter, it was actually very cold in Los Angeles.
Oh, that's
it's just the weather cooperated this time, which I thought was the God smiling on us. And we just took over that Warner Brothers backlot and Stars Hollow. Every single detail is made again, you know, like the Luke's Diner. It was just so cool to see all the buildings, you know, restored to their Stars Hollow fabulousness. And now I've gone there since then, and it's just complete ghost town now.
Oh, you guys are already done?
Well, we're not done, but certain outside scenes are done. So they have to, like, they put it all up, then they take it all down, then they put it all back up, because it's like the lot isn't just for Gilmore Girls. And there's a lot of other things that go on there.
Blah,
like,
blah, blah, other things.
Yeah, whatever, other stuff.
Yeah. We're not interested
in
those.
Leave it for Gilmore Girls.
Only Gilmore Girls.
I know, it's Gilmore Girls. But we're really having a great time, and I got to spend some time with, you know, a little more time with Lauren. It's so great. I actually took a picture of our chairs next to each other. It was a little bit thrilling for me to have my own chair that says Gilmore Girls with my name on it.
Nice.
I love little stuff like that.
Absolutely.
But really, the most fun was seeing Sally again, because we just had a ball. And she said to me, she has a dog. I just got a dog.
Monkey.
I've never owned a dog in 53 years.
I saw your
picture.
I
owned a dog. And Sally Struthers is now, Babette is the godmother of my dog.
Aww. I know people were.
I got him a collar in my favorite color, rose plaid.
I know people were making fun of you on Facebook. They were like, what is that dog in prison?
I know. We rescued the dog. My husband really wanted to put up a picture from when we first fell in love with him. I said, people are going to think he's in jail. But he was. That was him in his little cage at Pasadena Humane Society. So I was very happy that
he is adorable.
He's 6 years old. Thank you. I'm very excited about it. Okay. So, you know, I have people writing me saying, does he get along with Paul Anka?
Oh, dear. Can you imagine?
The sweetest dogs. And there have been a few dogs on the set this season. I saw some dogs.
You saw some dogs.
I don't think I'm giving anything away.
That is such a spoiler.
I know.
I have to figure this out.
I feel like you don't want to tell us more.
Who's Rory's new boyfriend and what dog does he have?
You know, I have to say, all those boyfriends came back, and I had done the Gilmore Guys podcast, and they asked me, you know, who did you like, Rory's boyfriend, Jess, Dean, or Logan? And I said, oh, Dean, for sure, because I just thought Jared was just such a sweet guy, and I just liked him a lot. And I said, the other two, they were all right. Then the very next day, they announced the revival, and I thought I'd never have to see these people.
Right.
Matt, who plays Logan, is like, hey, Ro-. I said, hey, how's it going? Like, you know, they're okay. You know, they just weren't my favorite. Jess was not my favorite.
No.
Because I had to fix his car. And Gypsy, look. When Gypsy's crabby at someone,
then
not
though. When Jess comes back, he's a better
Stop
person.
Stop it.
He is.
Look, Gypsy rebuilt the car that Dean brought to her.
Thank you.
They worked on it together.
The whole car.
Yes. No, all she did
they're
was
They're great
check it.
Guys. I mean, it's very, very exciting that everyone said yes and they're all back in one way or another.
God, yes.
So it's super cool.
Well, it's so fun because the last time we saw Rory, she was going off to cover the Obama campaign.
Yeah.
And now I'm just so curious to see what she's done in life for the last 9 years.
Oh, it's so good. I think people are really going to be very happy with it. I know at the table reads, first of all, the scripts are so enormous. It's like a phone book hitting the table. They're 90 minutes, but, you know, 90 minute in Gilmore World, it's just chock full of everything you could ever want. And people take collective gasps around the table and collective sighs, and everyone bursts into applause at the same time. I mean, the table reads were really, really a lot of fun.
Oh my God, I can only imagine the energy.
Yeah, and then they really have, you know, they feed us so well. We eat like Lorelai and Rory. Like, there's so much food at the table. There's first enormous bouquets of flowers with everyone's little name card. And then they have bowls of Pop-Tarts and like red vines. Everything that Lorelai and Rory eat, we had to snack on during, and nobody eats anything. It's crazy. I think I was the only person with like a little plate of food. I'm like, oh, I'm from Chicago, so I'm going to have some of this. It just stays in the big dining area, and then we go into the room to read them. But that's been really exciting to see the excitement of all the people in the room when we turn the pages. It's just been they've done such an amazing job, and they really didn't have that long to write them all. I guess they've been percolating for years about it. What's going to happen.
I'm curious, how many episodes have they announced how many episodes of the season actually is? Because I know with all these Netflix shows, there's only like 10 episodes per season. And
I know. I really wonder how they'll do it. Yeah. Four 90-minute movies.
Oh, wow.
What?
Wow.
So it's four. It's winter.
Okay.
I'm not blowing anything because I know this has been out there.
Okay,
it's
cool.
Winter, spring, summer, and fall.
We haven't looked anywhere else. You are our source for all things Gilmore
Girls.
That.
And so each one is 90. And I believe they're going to, I hope they don't put them all out because people will binge and not sleep for hours. And then, you know how when you don't have time to watch and someone tells you what's going to happen, you know, the spoiler people?
Right.
I think they're just going to dole them out, I believe, one a week maybe. I could be wrong, but I don't think they're going to put them all out the way that some other shows do where you, you know, I ended up watching Catastrophe on Amazon, and I think we watched all six episodes in two nights.
That's right. I'm in the middle of Orange is the New Black.
I have no self-control with that. I have to shove all 13 into my eyeballs all the time.
No, I never watched the first season, so I'm watching all three seasons this week, and I have dreams of being in jail. It's very strange.
Of course, yeah. That's funny. You're like my dog in his little cell.
Exactly. By the way, does Monkey's ear, are both ears like that? Is it one ear
just
kind of
one. Just one ear goes up, and Sally called me, and she goes, oh my gosh, I love how one ear goes up. He's a Disney dog. And I brought him to Warner Brothers, snuck him on the lot, and two different people stopped us. What show is he working on? I said, he's getting his SAG card.
Yeah, exactly. By the way,
if Gilmore does go past these four episodes, you better believe I'll politic for Gypsy to have a dog.
Oh, so we will start a petition. Yeah. Monkey for Gypsy. I don't know
monkey
which
one. Gypsy, Gypsy for Monkey.
That might get confusing, just letting you guys know.
By the way, Gypsy, I was going to call her Gypsy. Rose, when we were...
No, call her Gypsy. Let's go there.
Gypsy Rose. Scott Patterson,
yes.
There was a couple takes of one episode. I don't remember what it was. We were all waiting in line outside, and they had to yell cut twice because he said Gypsy. He said Rose instead of Gypsy.
Oh, there you go.
And he goes, I keep thinking of Gypsy Rose.
That, and that was a couple that people gossiped a lot about. So I won't ask. I know that people, there was all kind of speculation about their relationship, but I will ask you, when I was hanging out with you in LA, and I like saying that, by the way,
mm-hmm.
that's something I get to say.
At my husband's book party.
Yes. At Matt and
Napkins.
Matt
Napkins, the book.
Go to at Matt and Napkins on Instagram. And you can see a lot of those great pieces of art. But you were telling me that Sally Struthers was worried that she wasn't going to be in they weren't going to invite her back because she'd heard about.
She's so cute. She does not have a computer. And I forget that, you know, I mean, listen, I barely know how to work my computer. But she will say to me, I ran into her and I said, Sally, it's going to be great. We're going to do Gilmore Girls. Or I think maybe I called her to tell. She said, am I going to be in it? And I said, yes, it's a big deal. And she goes, I don't own a computer. So she doesn't have a computer. She doesn't watch Netflix. She didn't really understand how popular the show has gotten since it's been off the air, because the popularity really grew in the years since it was on CW, certainly, you know, with ABC Family and with Netflix. And I told her, I said, Sally, there's a huge online presence for Gilmore Girls. She goes, I don't own a computer, dear. She is so funny. And yet she's so knowledgeable. She had me download the app Voxer on my phone, so we walkie-talkie each other. So we share this really long trailer. There are two enormous dressing rooms that are hooked together, and I could hear her yelling to me, Rose, I sent you a Voxer. And I'm like, I know, I can hear you through the wall. So, like, we play walkie-talkie with our phones. She's a riot. I mean, if you would have told me, you'll be close friends with Gloria from All in the Family. Like, she was literally one of my very favorite actresses on TV, and now I can't believe I get to hang out with her.
Oh, what a great time it sounds like you're having. And then, of course, news came out recently that Melissa McCarthy was coming back.
Yes, and listen to this. I missed her by moments the day that she was at the set because she was filming the Ellen show, and they told me in the morning, I had seen Yannick, who plays Michelle from The Dragonfly, and he said, I can't tell you, I can't confirm, I can't deny. But then I had heard she's definitely going to do it, and she went straight to Ellen that afternoon. So I got back to the set, and Lauren said, you missed Melissa literally by 2 minutes.
Oh, man, how strange. Oh. I mean, because that's one of those moments where you go, really, Gilmore Girls? And then, because we had Mark Roberts on the other night who created Mike and Molly.
Yes, and I want to tell you, I'm in the 12th episode of Mike and Molly.
Oh, I didn't even realize
I'm in the 12th episode of this brand new chunk that's coming up very soon, and she was my director.
Oh, what a great way to finish out the series is to direct an episode.
It was great.
Oh, that's
it was really a lot of fun to work with her, and we got to talk about all things Gilmore, and it was just, it was really, she's a great director. I have to say, I would really look forward to working with her again.
Would you ever consider directing? Is that something you've ever thought about?
You know, my sister and friends, they all think I should. I don't want to control that many people, but I guess I'd like to try it. I don't know. You have to control so many moving parts. But I like the part where they call second team and I get to go rest and have a snack.
I love that. I love the idea of that. Second team.
Yeah. Oh, but meanwhile, I was telling you that Sally, we're really popular. Really popular. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So the joke is now at Warner Brothers, there was never tourist trams back in the day when we used to work on Gilmore Girls. Now they have little, like, those trams go by with the little roof, you know, like you see anywhere at Disneyland or whatever.
Right.
And it's full of people. So we would go, there's an enormous snack truck with, like, two, like, silver steps going up to it. And when they would yell cut at the town meetings, all of us would rush to the snack truck because it's everything imaginable. It's like going into a little party store where you don't have to pay for anything. So we would have a ball in there. And so we would pass the tourist trams and wave at the people and sail. And no one ever waved back in any kind of recognition.
What?
We're decked out in full Babette gypsy regalia. And it's like the people who take the Warner Brothers tours are all into, I don't know, Harry Potter, Batman. I don't know what they're into.
Yeah,
but
what
never. So she keeps yelling at me like, you said we were really popular. Okay, but not with these people. Apparently we're no one. All right.
Oh.
Well, just wait. Just wait. Just wait till after the Netflix thing comes out.
Well, yeah, please. You know, and we'd love to have her on the show. If you want to tell Sally Struthers, we'd love to have her.
Oh, my gosh.
We'd
she would love her. That. We should do it together one day. We'll have a ball.
Yes, please. Yeah.
Yes, please.
Yes, please.
Yes, please.
Don't make us beg.
I would love that.
And I don't know if you ever saw, there was an episode of Supernatural where Jared's on a one of those trams, and he gets off because they're about to go through Stars Hollow. He's like, oh, I don't.
I love it.
Yeah, there was an inside
Somebody
joke.
He told me that he flew in. He's so busy that he actually flew on his own plane.
Oh, wow.
But he came back to do his part.
Yeah,
he only had like a day or whatever, and he came on his. I don't know if that was a rumor, but I think it's true.
I think
he came on his own plane.
I wouldn't be surprised because Supernatural's in its 12th season.
There you go. So he's got some crazy Supernatural money. He's such a nice guy.
That's good to hear. I think that's always a relief because Dean is such a sweet kid.
Yeah, I love him.
But he became a demon hunter.
Oh, that's right.
A demon hunter. He went to hell and came back. He was evil. He had no soul for. Okay, I might
See,
watch.
I only like shows about family. I really like family shows. I mean, I love Orange Is the New Black and stuff like that. But I don't like anything with like zombies or blood or
Me neither.
Chasing.
Well, maybe.
Although I do love mafia shows. I take that back. I do like Blood.
And I take it back too. I like True Blood, but I don't like. I can't watch. I tried watching the pilot episode of Walking Dead, and I couldn't do it.
Couldn't do it. Me either.
Or Game of Thrones, because Craig's.
Game of Thrones is great. When are you on Game of Thrones, Rose? When's
no,
that
I've
happening?
I've never seen Game of Thrones.
Oh, no.
Too much mud.
Well, we'll get you on it, and then you'll watch it.
Oh.
Okay. Ooh. I like that idea. Mm-hmm.
I would love to see
it. I like the idea of next doing something with costumes from another period. I would really enjoy that, I think.
And a sword.
Yeah, and you get a sword.
Yeah, why not?
On a horse. Swinging a sword while riding a horse. Let's make that happen.
Yeah.
Does it have to be
that.
For Game of Thrones, or can we just make that happen in general?
I think Gypsy is on a horse riding through
that.
Town.
Yep.
Okay.
We're pitching stuff.
Yes.
I love what they've given Gypsy to do.
Awesome. Well,
good. Cool.
One more question before I let you go, because we talked to you so long. We have to figure out how to get you back again whenever you have time. But is Amy Sherman-Palladino writing all of these, or is this by a team of writers?
Yes, Amy Sherman-Palladino and her husband Daniel Palladino have written all four of the seasons.
Oh, wow.
Seasons meaning the winter movie, the spring, winter, spring, summer, and fall. Fantastic.
That's so cool. I'm so excited. And do you have, one more question. I lied. One more question. Do you know when they're planning to release these?
You know, I heard from someone that it's that Christmas time. Someone either said this would be a good idea or this is really when it's happening. Remember how, I don't know if you guys did it, but around the holiday, everybody was watching that Making of a Murderer.
Right.
Because it was that time between like the winter break and New Year's where people have a lot of time to sit around and talk about it. And I thought, what a terrible subject matter choice that was for
yes.
Christmas. Because at every Christmas party we went to, I was obsessed with talking about this small town and this murder and this guy that got accused of murder. I mean, it was just on everyone's lips. So either I was somewhere on the crew where someone said that would be a great time to do it, or that is when they're doing it. I can't remember.
Interesting.
But
that is what
the first one is winter, it's kind of perfect if it was in winter.
Well, we're eagerly awaiting the release of that. Okay, we've been talking to Rose Abdu. She plays Gypsy on Gilmore Girls, and they're coming back on Netflix with four 90-minute mini movies. And also, you can catch her once in a while on Scandal, because we know you're coming back, and you've got two episodes of Veep coming up, and an episode of Mike and Molly. See, you're so busy.
Yeah,
I love
Mike
that.
And Molly. That was so much fun. And that cast is one of my very favorites. It was just, that's a dream come true, because I've never missed an episode of Mike and Molly, and I was just so happy. I'm in the 12th one, so they only made 13. So I think they're going to start April 25th. They'll start up again.
So exciting. I look forward to seeing you in a couple weeks, you and your husband, your wonderful husband, John. I want
to
meet
you.
Monkey.
I can't wait to hang out with you. I can't wait to see you guys. And when I'm in Chicago, I'm going to come there in person.
Perfect. Oh, well, okay. We have that recorded, so we're holding you to that.
Oh, great, Patty. It was great to talk to both of you.
Great talking to you, too. That's Rose Abdu. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. Esmeralda and I, when we have a break, have been doing a little shopping online. Can I be honest about that?
Yeah.
Esmeralda? Yeah.
No, that's
fine. We were shopping for pajamas. There's nothing wrong with that.
No.
Not for each other. Just in general.
Cutesy pajamas.
You were saying that you don't generally wear like the matchy sets.
No, I just wear whatever I'm wearing that day.
Sometimes I do that too.
I just wear a t-shirt and off to bed.
Just get it done. Get into bed. I just started buying like pajama sets or nightgowns.
No, they are super cute.
Well, and I don't know. There's something, I don't know.
It's adorable, especially if you want to, like you said, if you're in, say, someone else's home.
Yes.
And you're just having a coffee and you don't want to get dressed all the way completely, you wear a cute pajama set.
Exactly. I actually, Mark DiCarlo makes fun of me when I'm hanging out at his place. He and his wife, Yenny, are hosts for me when I go out to LA. And, I have a set that looks like I'm a waitress at a Chinese restaurant. they always want to know if I'm ready to take their order.
Some egg rolls.
So I'm like, oh, now I'm hungry for egg rolls. Last night it was pasta. Tonight it's egg rolls. What? Wait a minute. you had a sense that this might be happening, Craig.
I did.
Did you get a tingle? Is it like a spidey sense?
Yeah.
Dr. Dingman is
I think
possibly...
Dr. Dingman described last time how maybe some of his abilities would transfer over to us.
Is like a residual? Dr. Dingman, how does that work? That Craig can pick up the sense that you are going to be calling in tonight.
As you know, Patty, the whole world is about vibration. And because I've been on your program for such an extended period of time, I think perhaps my vibration is beginning to rub off on Craig and yourself, and hopefully the listeners in the greater Chicagoland area. So perhaps because Craig, now, Craig, I've never been to the studio. Are you touching anything electrical while you're working, or are you just reading a book?
No, I'm around a ton of electrical equipment.
But are you actually touching buttons and keyboards and things?
Yes, I interact with this stuff a lot, yeah.
Yeah, my vibration goes through the airwaves, through the phone, and he's tactily picking it up there. And it's negligible, almost, but residually. Imagine if there was, like, plutonium in your keyboard, Craig. Not a lot, not like I'm going to wipe out a city, just a little bit there.
Wow.
Where if you were there every day, without wearing lead gloves, you eventually, your fingers would rot.
Right, so, I mean, that's 1.21 gigawatts of electricity, so that makes
that's
sense.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
You could go to the future with that much.
Or something. You'd go somewhere with
yeah,
that.
You could.
Yeah.
So that's probably why you get that tingling. Everyone is psychic to some level. It's a matter of, A, trusting yourself and believing that maybe what I'm hearing or seeing or feeling is real instead of just some drunken stupor, and then developing it. It's like playing the piano or learning to swallow a sword.
Oh, well, yeah, those are things you have to really develop.
It's all about
again,
the breathing is what I've been told.
Well, it's also about it's all about the what?
The breathing. When you, I tend to frequent carnivals and circuses, and I befriend the friendless, typically the bearded lady, the carnies with no teeth, setting up the shams to fleece young children of their hard-earned money. These are the people I gravitate towards.
I can see that.
We understand each other, and I believe that all the people in show business, yourselves included, are of that ilk. Would you not agree?
That we're ready to fleece people of their hard-earned money?
No. We're carny folk.
Oh, carny folk.
What is radio but a loud barker? The guy out front saying, come in, look in the tent. We have a sale from Ace Hardware.
Yes, no, you could be right about that. We try to lure people in with our goods. There's a certain element of that.
Lou Malnati's pizza, for instance. You give those away like pizza.
We do indeed. You know why? Because it's so tasty. It's the best in Chicago.
I wouldn't know.
Oh, well, someday I'll have to share one with you, I promise. I'm going to send you one. I'm going to make sure you receive at least a frozen. Would you mind if I send you a frozen pizza?
I think that would be better than one that's already cooked.
Yeah, that would probably, you're right. I'm saying, you know, rather than wait for you to come to Chicago and have one freshly served.
I mean no harm to the people that work for the post office, but I can't believe that some poor bastard in a mailroom somewhere smelled a hot pizza going by and wouldn't just open it and go in the back room and eat it.
I know, I would. Right. Is
it a felony? Sure, but who cares at that point?
I agree. Who cares if it's a federal offense to tamper with mail? It's pizza. It's Lou Malnati's. Go for it.
It's known as the Malnati's defense, Patty.
I agree. And I think that would definitely stand up in front of a jury of your peers.
Sure.
Yes. And by the way, for our listeners who would like to have Dr. Dingman read your vibrations, really, in essence, whether it's your future.
Your future, your past lives, whatever.
All of those things. You sort of get an idea of where you are in your life. Please give us a call at 312-981-7200. Dr. Dingman would like to hear the last three songs in your shuffle in order to give you a reading. That's 312-981-7200. And explain to our listeners why it's so important to hear the last three songs that have randomly erupted onto their device?
Well, because what it is if it's your personal device, it's the universe communicating to you with song titles. And I'm able to interpret what the universe is saying to point you in the right direction. The universe is a benevolent energy, right? All religions, true religions around the world, could be boiled down to that, a benevolent energy that connects people. Every religion has its own different bylaws and things, color schemes, logos. But
okay, I don't think I would see it that way, but okay.
So this is what I interpret. And when people call in, I've been very accurate, I believe, picking on people who are have just broken up, are in love, are in search of a new job, have just found something, are dealing with interpersonal problems. It's when you have a problem or something is on your mind, you're thinking about it, and that creates energy, and that's thrown into the universe, and this is the way the universe's way of batting an answer back to you. It's like a tennis game of help.
Okay. And I love the way you do often help our listeners, and we do invite our listeners to give us a call, 312-981-7200. The doctor is prepared to give you a reading. I'm trying to decide I think we did my songs last time, so I'm not going to put mine out there, but it might be time at some point for Esmeralda to put hers out there.
Esmeralda. Oh, boy.
Esmeralda Leon up in traffic. If you
want a name like that, you know that she's had some fantastic past lives.
I agree. She's got a fantastic current life. She lives life like she means it. That's the nice thing about Esmeralda. Esmeralda's like,
that's a T-shirt, Patty. You should put that on a T-shirt.
Esmeralda lives life like she means it?
Well, yes. It doesn't have to be Esmeralda. Yeah. I think it'd sell more if it was just without the name.
Name here.
How many Esmeralda little kid license plates do you see, Patty? Read the marketplace.
All right, that's fine. Saying. Live life like you mean it. Is that what you want, that shirt?
That would be a T-shirt. Sure, it's a slogan. A hat. Moron Trump could put his slogan on his hat. You could put this on a hat for yourself.
All right, then I got to write that down. I don't even know what I said. I'm glad that you liked it so much I should market it.
Yes, you should. You could run for president.
No, I would not enjoy that at all. If they would vet me just by going to YouTube alone and seeing my stand-up comedy clips, they would be like, oh, no, not appropriate. Not appropriate. She doesn't even know how to wear the right bra.
A comedian for a president.
I don't know that. Are we ready for a comedian as president?
No, I meant George W. Bush.
Oh, that's the one. Yeah. We are talking to Dr. Dingman, and he is taking your calls.
Clown, actually, is what I meant.
Oh, well, you know, and they are different. People always think that clowns and comics are the same thing.
They're not.
They are not.
No. One is a bitter, lonely, drunken, broken man. And the other is a clown.
That's Dr. Dingman breaking it down for you, the differences, the distinction between clown and comic. Give us a call at 312-981-7200. He will take a peek into your past, your present lives, your past lives perhaps, and your future. More after this on 720 WGN. 312-981-7200. We have a couple callers that are being screened right now to see if we can take their last three songs from their shuffle. Dr. Dingman, we prefer to take callers who are, you know, we don't want to find out that maybe someone is apprehensive. We want them to be confident.
No, they should be. But I must say, this is that last commercial was inappropriate. Big money movement? Do we need to speak of this on the radio? And who's paying for something like that? That's a ridiculous. That's horrible. People should not be paying. It should not be a member of commerce. That's a private thing.
Well, I'll make sure next time you're on, we'll play mostly the erectile dysfunction commercials.
Now, that's different. That's a tool that helps America win again. But a big money movement, that's just vulgar.
I don't think it's as vulgar as you make it out to be, sir. We have to find out if Esmeralda's ready, but as we wait for a caller that is appropriate. Again, some callers are like, I just want them to do a reading for me without sharing any of my songs. They're kind of shy.
Well, what they don't understand, folks, is that I can't dial into you unless I hear your song titles. I can't see you. I can't experience you in person. So the way I do it is with the song titles that the universe is throwing in your face. What I do is I scrape them off your face, I make sense of them, and then I feed them in your ears.
Well, there you go. I think that sounds reasonable. 312-981-7200 if you want Dr. Dingman to scrape your song titles off your face and shove them into your ear. Was that the right way?
Yes.
Yes.
I think it's a pretty clear visual, Patty.
Okay. There you go. 312-981.
Yes. Like cake batter or scrambled eggs. Mm-hmm. On the face, scraped off, fed into the ear.
I like it somewhere else. Esmeralda, did you say you had three songs for Dr. Dingman?
I do.
Okay. Dr. Dingman, this is Esmeralda Leon. She's our traffic guy.
I must ask you, is that your actual name or is it your radio name?
No, that's my real name.
You're born on your birth certificate. Mm-hmm. It says Esmeralda Leon.
Yep.
What's your middle name?
I don't have one.
Ooh.
My mom said because my name is so long.
You're in the wrong, I would just say, you're in the wrong business. You should be an exotic dancer.
They use stage names. See, that's her real name.
That's true.
They take her name.
You could rent out your name to a stripper.
That's, but then I'd get confused with the strippers.
That's true, too.
Well, you know. Have them spell how they dot the I, or they use a Y. And
right, they can
I.
use a Z.
Stripperize the name, but it's so lyrical and beautiful.
Oh, well, thank you. Okay, here are my three songs.
Yes.
One's Beyonce, Crazy in Love.
Yes.
What was the other one? The fun song, We Are Young. And then the last one was an Oasis song. It was Don't Go Away.
So We Are Young.
Mm-hmm.
Don't Go Away.
Mm-hmm.
And the first one?
Beyonce's Crazy in Love.
Crazy in Love. We Are in Love. Don't Go Away.
No, We Are Young.
Okay. We Are Young. We're Crazy in Love.
Yep.
Do Not Go Away.
There you go.
It sounds to me like you are wrapped mentally and emotionally in a relationship.
Yeah.
That
actually,
is...
Actually, yes.
Alternately very satisfying and then very not satisfying.
Ooh.
The image I'm getting in my head is of... towels in a washer machine, at the end of the cycle you hear the thump, 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 and you have to go stop the washer, and you pick up the lid, and you see that all the towels are bunched on one side, and it's causing the drum to vibrate and rotate in an unbalanced manner.
Right.
I'm feeling that you're unbalanced right now romantically.
Right. Tell us what V did. Tell us. Tell us what he did. Tell us right now.
Well, usually,
we'll call him.
Usually, though, with an unbalance, I just stick my hand in there and I grab out the towels.
Oh, yeah.
And then what happens? You sprain your wrist.
No.
So you're hurting yourself is what I'm saying. The universe is saying you're too twisted up with this situation and you're going to end up hurting yourself.
Oh, boy.
So perhaps, first of all, is this any of this making sense to you?
Not the twisted bits.
Not the twisted bits.
Not the hurting myself.
No. That's what, if you would go too far. I'm saying about you're in a relationship and you're confused about it.
I wouldn't say I'm confused.
Unsure? What word would you like me to use? I realize we're talking about your personal life on the radio and this person may actually be listening. Give me a good word that you would say describes what I'm saying.
Can I use one? Can I?
Go for it.
She seems content.
There you go.
Content.
That's a good word.
Yeah. She seems content.
Okay, so what happens to the towels after you wash them?
They get fluffy and then...
You put them in the dryer.
Oh, yeah.
They go around and around. Maybe you put in a dryer sheet, right? Mm-hmm. To reduce the static electricity and impart a delicious smell. And then, bing, it goes off. You open the door. And is there a nicer feeling than warm towels right out of the dryer?
There is not. Especially on a cold night.
So contented. You wrap your face in the towel. Not too tight, obviously, or you would suffocate. But tight enough so you feel the warmth. And almost as if you are back in the womb again. A true measure of contentment.
I like that. That sounds good.
Yeah.
I don't know how hot V's going to think that is. Being with you is like being back in the womb.
Being like a warm, fluffy towel around my face.
Laundry. It's a symbol. It's a symbol of new birth and a clean slate and moving forward with no limitations. You put on your white linen suit, and you're going to go to a wine tasting party, and you don't give a damn because you know you won't spill any red wine on your cuffs.
See?
It's that kind of day.
This is true.
Wow,
Esmeralda,
yeah.
Did you spill anything on that rented dress you had?
No.
This is what I'm saying.
None at all.
Interesting.
But in the past, you were clumsy, let's be honest.
Yes. No.
Yeah. Clumsy. Clumsy with food. And in love. And now you found your center. You found your comfort, your contentment, and it was in the laundry room all the time.
Aww. Oh, look at that. V's like a warm, fluffy towel.
That I wrap around my head.
And
I do like sticking my head in laundry. In my arms, because they're so warm.
Do you know why you like that?
Because it's warm.
Yes, but two lives ago, you were an army puppy.
Oh, yeah. An army puppy.
An army. You were a German Shepherd in the Army Canine Corps, and you were the valedictorian puppy.
So would I do first, cute
and
things?
You ended up teaching other dogs to be service animals in the army.
Look at me.
Look at you.
I didn't know that other puppies taught other puppies, but apparently I did.
There's people involved, but there is modeling where the younger dogs look up to the older dogs and they model their behavior. It actually tends to shrink the training period from 32 to 37%.
Well, look at me.
Look at you.
Yeah. So you've been of service. You were of service in the army, and now you're of service on the radio, broadcasting the information that people are hungry for.
And you deserve a treat, like a warm towel in your mother's womb. It all works. Dr. Dingman, can you hang on for after the news? Because we have Cindy on the line who would like to share her three songs. And I know that other callers have been trying to get through at 312-981-7200 to share their songs with you and perhaps get a peek into their realities. Do you mind hanging on?
That would be fine.
Wonderful. We'll talk to Dr. Dingman. Go to the iTunes Psychic on Twitter. Is that correct? At iTunes Psychic?
That is correct, Patty.
And take a look at all of his postings and upcoming appearances. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. And we are honored to be just the sheer freedom we have to welcome Dr. Dingman. I mean, because I don't think other radio shows are as fortunate as we are, Dr. Dingman.
No, there are a few, but you're the most fortunate. And I want to thank you for playing that piece of music. That is from my forthcoming funk record, Getting Dingy With It. I did a studio album in Nashville and in Los Angeles, and that is the third song on the album. It's called Funky.
You know, Dr. Dingman, I meant to ask you about that because you sent that music along. Did you sample Maroon 5 at all when you...
I believe the producer, T-Bone Burnett, may have sampled a little bit of that.
Yeah, I'm just letting you know that when you become a big deal, especially in the music world, you may have some copyright issues with that song in Maroon 5.
Oh.
But I thought if you actually say it's sampled...
Oh, no, then you're fine. Yeah, then... Right. Okay, yeah.
There you go.
Right? If I said I had stolen it, then absolutely. But if I sampled it, it's the sincerest form of flattery.
I think that you're covered that way.
Right.
Again, we have the world-renowned Dr. Dolores Dingman, who is a foremost music psychic. He can foretell a subject's future simply by knowing the last three songs that were randomly played on your music player. We have on the line with us, we have Cindy, who's been waiting patiently. Thank you so much, Cindy. How are you doing tonight?
Hi, I'm great. How are you?
We're thrilled that you're on the show tonight with Dr. Dingman.
Hello, Cindy.
Hi, Dr. Dingman.
How are you?
I'm great. Are you ready for the lineup?
Yes, I am.
Okay, here we go. Thunderstruck by AC/DC.
Oh, yeah.
The Long and Winding Road. And Scarborough Fair.
Scarborough Fair. Long and Winding Road. And Thunderstruck.
Yeah.
By AC/DC.
Yeah. Oh, not the Michael Bublé version?
No.
AC/DC.
Although that is a great cover. That's a great cover.
Oh, he does a fantastic job. The kid can sing. And he picks, obviously, songs you wouldn't expect him to play. So Thunderstruck, Long and Winding Road. And what was the third one?
Scarborough Fair by Simon and Garfunkel.
By Simon and Garfunkel. Correct?
Yes.
Yes.
Because AC/DC did a version of Scarborough Fair.
I think as well as Michael Bublé.
Yes, it's a very popular song. I may sample part of it for my next album. What I'm seeing here is you're going on a bucolic journey. You're traveling. You live in the city.
Long and winding road.
Yeah, yes, but to some place. I see that you live in a gray building, an area surrounded mostly by man-made things. You don't live in nature, do you?
No.
No. I see that you're going to be going on a journey or a trip to nature in the near future. I'm going to say within 6 weeks. Do you have any vacations planned currently?
Yes, next week, Kentucky.
Oh, the bluegrass state?
Mm-hmm.
I was seeing the verdant. Verdant is green and grassy and beautiful, and like a county fair. I'm seeing horses. You're going to the Kentucky Derby.
No, I'm going to Keeneland Racetrack.
Horse racing, yes?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And one of the horses that you're going to see is going to be in the Derby this year. Is that not right? Not true?
Correct.
Yes. And that horse's name?
You know, I can't remember. I can't remember what the horse's name is.
Is it Winifred's? Winifred's Flowers? Flowers for Winifred, something like that. But there's a horse that you're going to see next week that will run in the Kentucky Derby, and it will place third in the Kentucky Derby. So if you're going to wager, you might consider doing that. Of course, I must say that I never use my gifts for profit. I don't charge for doing readings. So I I've never gambled based on a vision that I've had myself. So I would not encourage you to do that. I'm just saying it so that when it happens, I can point back to the tape and tell Patty, aha, I said.
He does do that.
And that's you're going, excuse me?
I said, this is amazing.
Yeah. And you're going to refresh yourself on this vacation. You're feeling not yourself. You're feeling gray and colorless. It's like the color has been drained out of you. Think you're like a rainbow, but someone poked a hole in the bottom of you and all the color is drained out. And now you're just like a clear plastic sheath of empty rainbow juice.
Oh,
I would say that's accurate.
Yeah. So what you're doing is you're going to this Kentucky where it's green grass and beautiful brown and black of the horses and the white of the foam of the beer. You're going to absorb all your color again and get your mojo back is what you're going to do. As the great Muddy Waters would say, get your mojo working again. Yeah. That's the plan for the vacation, yeah?
Yeah.
That sounds great. It.
Yeah, and you're not going by yourself.
No, I'm going with a friend.
Yes, but just a friend.
Yes.
And this is a male or a female?
Girlfriend. A best friend.
Yeah. And you are going, you're both single?
Correct.
Yeah. I'm sensing you're going to be there Saturday night, yes?
Yep.
Yeah. I'm seeing you and your girlfriend who has a kind of ashy, not blonde, but not black hair in the middle with a tint of red, a little tinge of red, yeah?
Correct.
Yeah. I'm seeing the two of you going into a cowboy-ish bar in downtown and meeting. Do you know how to do the Western dance?
No, but I'm a quick learner.
Yeah, you should learn before you go. I'm seeing that you're going to be doing some dancing with some gentlemen. The one guy looks like Sam Elliott with a giant mustache, and the other guy has got a labanza that you could put a drink on. He's so fat.
Dear.
What a nice guy. He's just got a big belly. Is that your type?
Oh, boy.
Something to look out for.
Yeah, you like the chubbies. You're a chubby chaser, aren't you? I think that's a win, Patty. That's a laugh.
I feel like Cindy needs to check in with us when she comes back from her trip.
Well, yeah.
I'm just going to tell you, my rainbow is already filling up with color, just as you speak.
Aww.
Right. You're chubby chaser is what they call them.
Oh, my goodness.
If we were not on the radio right now, I would ask you so many other questions, and I would tell you all the things. What happens is I hear your song titles, and I start to see movies and pictures in my head. And the pictures I'm seeing in my head with you and these Pillsbury Doughmen, they're quite entertaining. You're a great broad. Let me tell you that right now. You're someone I'd want to go out and have a couple of drinks with at a horse place.
I agree. I wish I could hang out with Cindy, too.
Cindy, you're going to have a wonderful time this weekend. I'm going to tell you to do two things. Number one, go and take a country line dancing class before you go. Simple line dancing. Believe me, if people in Kentucky can do it, so can you. Very simple. And secondly, go to the mall and buy yourself some new underwear.
Oh, that's always fun.
Okay.
You know the favorite brand of the Pretty Late Show, as recommended by James Vickery and Kristen McAllister, are Hanky Pankies, just so you know, Cindy.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you're going to need at least
very familiar with Hanky Pankies.
Yes, yep. They're fun.
Get the four pack.
I think they come in packs. Okay. Yeah, maybe you can get packs of three. I just got my three pack today in the mail.
Let me ask you this, Patty. I've never purchased ladies' lingerie. Is it like men's socks? You like the panties come in threes and the bras come in fours, so you have to buy 12 to get a matching set?
It's not like hot dogs. You're making it sound like the buns.
That's what I was thinking. Hot dogs. Yeah, that's what I mean. The buns and the meat. It's asynchronous.
I think that's only at Target. I think that's only at Target.
I agree. Well,
no, you need to go top shelf. Yes. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This is not going to be kept under wraps the entire weekend. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, fill that rainbow, Cindy. Cindy, will you check in with us? We want to know how it goes.
Hot diggity.
I'm saying.
We'll do.
All right. Thank you, Cindy.
You are the best. This is so much fun.
I'm so glad you called.
I'm glad you called, Cindy. Okay. December 5.
Yeah. Okay.
Hoorah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Cindy. Let's see what Susan's up to as well. Hey, Susan, how are you doing?
Hi, I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm well. Here's Dr. Dingman.
Did you hear the reading I just gave Cindy, Susan?
Yes, I did.
She's a party girl. She's a fun girl.
Sounds like
you know, you
maybe I
grab
should go to
life by the throat and shake it till it stops moving.
I don't think that's quite the analogy you want to use, but
what are your three songs, Susan?
Well, the first one is Never Give Up, and it's probably by artist, I don't even know if you've heard of him. It's Jeff Bridgeford. He was a drummer for the Bee Gees back in like 1969.
Wow. And, look at you, family. Really...
Pardon me?
That's a very obscure credit for him.
Oh, yeah. Well, he probably won't even know I'm talking about him. But
you know him personally?
No, I bought his music. I like to look up artists and see who was in the band and see what music they're making. And I actually have bought some of their music, and I actually bought a CD by Jeff Bridgeford, which he does a lot of voluntary work for the Aborigines.
Oh.
I like music that's like kind of charitable. I want to know the artist is doing good work for the community.
You're paying it forward. So. What you're doing, you're shopping your morals and your conscience with your wallet. That's brilliant.
That sounds like me. My conscience is always like telling me what I should and shouldn't do. But the name
it
can
be
of
annoying.
The song. Pardon me?
It can be annoying. Sometimes you just want your conscience to be quiet.
Yeah, I know.
I can tell you right now, Cindy's not going to have any problem with her conscience.
Well, you know, we're
she's leaving her conscience at home, Susan.
Wait till you hear my other songs, because
yes.
The one by Jeff Bridgeford is called Never Give Up.
Yes, what are the other two?
And the other one, another one is Mood Elevator by Tom Kiefer from Cinderella.
The movie or the band?
The band.
Okay.
Tom Kiefer from the band Cinderella, and the song is called Mood Elevator.
Because there was also a film called Cinderella with a delightful soundtrack.
Oh, no, I didn't know that. I guess I'm not a TV watcher, actually. I'm a radio listener.
The famous Disney cartoon.
Oh.
Yeah. I thought maybe one of the Bippity Bippity Bop songs was actually titled, you know how it says Bippity Bippity Bop, and then in parentheses, Mood Elevator, close parentheses?
No, this Mood Elevator is probably more like probably getting high, which I don't do, but
you don't do anymore.
No, not anymore. You got that
but you
right.
Used to.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, you would go to school with pot in your bag, wouldn't you?
No, well, oh yeah, I did that, but it scared me and I gave it away.
right, but you did it.
Yeah, I did it.
Yeah, all right, so we got Never Give Up, Mood Elevator, and what's the other one?
Mona Lisa by Chris Klaus.
And is that Santa's cousin?
I don't even know who that is. It came on my little MP3 player as a gift song, and I like it.
All right, so you've got three incredibly obscure artists.
Yes.
The song titles being Never Give Up, Mood right. Elevator, and Mona Lisa.
Mm-hmm.
I'm seeing... you're familiar with an onion, Susan?
Yes.
And you can peel away an onion. And every layer you peel away, you get closer to the core of the onion. I'm picturing you as a giant onion. You're a very complicated, complex, filled with light person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think my husband would say that.
Yeah, yeah. You're not going to eat, if given a choice, you're not going to eat the Frosted Flakes. You're going to have the granola.
Oh.
Exactly.
Right. You don't want to wear living creatures for clothing or fashion. So you wear a lot of fabric, canvas and cotton and things of this nature.
Absolutely.
You would never wear snakeskin boots.
Ooh.
No.
or a calfskin belt.
No way, never.
No. And what these songs are saying about you is that you are one with nature. You are in tune with the earth. The earth will never give up. You know, there's a lot of talk about climate change, and people are misinterpreting that as, oh, the earth is in trouble. No.
Uh-huh.
The earth is not in trouble. The people who live on it are in trouble. The earth is
right.
going to be fine.
Right.
Because it never gives up. It keeps spinning, and it changes and moves and perseveres, which is what you do. You've been knocked right. down many times in your life.
Oh, yeah.
You keep getting up.
Hmm.
Right? Am I right? You're like those Bobos, where you punch them, and they go down for a minute, and then, whoop, they pop back up.
That's pretty good, yeah.
And that is the mood elevating. The whoop, when you pop back up, you elevate your own mood. And even
right.
though you have good reason to be downtrodden and pushed around, you don't let it get to you. And
right.
you whoop, you pop back up.
Right.
And you do it with a style and a grace and a smile, like the Mona Lisa.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I catch from other people, what they tell me. So, I had somebody in where I work at a college, and somebody in a higher position said I was a gem.
Yeah.
That was quite a compliment.
Yeah, you have a very bright light aura around you. You're a positive force in the earth, and I sense that you're living out some good karma. In a past life, you were on the Titanic.
Oh.
You were a banjo player
Ooh.
On the Titanic. A male banjo, no, female banjo player.
Oh, that would be
which
unique.
Was very rare in the
yes.
day. Still is. I don't think if anyone could, you could do it. Susan, could you name a female banjo player?
No, but I can tell you the law of the banjo.
There's a law of the banjo?
She loves
love
banjo.
The banjo.
Loves.
Oh, you love the banjo?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I thought you said there was a law of the banjo, like some sort of, you know, hillbilly code. Yeah, so that's what I'm seeing. In a past life, you were a banjo player on the Titanic, and rather than save yourself, you helped the women and children get into the lifeboats, and you cast off 4 lifeboats before the boat itself went down, and you went down with it.
Wow.
And because of this selfless love and saving these young women and children so that they could survive, and you sacrificed yourself, you're being rewarded in this life with the wonderful life that you're living. Would you say one word would describe your life?
Satisfied.
Yeah.
Comfortable.
Mm.
Even though there's a lot of things going on, you know, that are layoffs at work and everything, and I still come to work with a smile on my face. I have a couple deaths in the family, and I just see people, and I can be really sad, and then I'll be walking through the hall, and there'll be a person, and I'll just light up just because there's a person there.
Boop, mood elevator. That is what you provide the world. You can't help it.
Even if
you didn't want to, you would be compelled to.
Yes, yeah. I even had my brother-in-law was actually murdered, and I was really shook up about it, and I went into work, and somebody smiled at me in the hallway, and I just, happy joy just filled me right there, just
Aww.
Like that. And I can't explain it. I call it a chemical reaction. But
well,
I'm
I can explain it. That person smiling at you was giving you what you always give back to everyone else around you. The universe is alive and sentient. It is conscious. And you're constantly feeding the universe with positive energy. On the few times when you are down, it's like having a lighthouse light burnt out. Everybody knows. On the subconscious universal level. So someone Russia's help you light up again. We're all connected, Susan, and you carry the burden most of the time for strangers, people around you. So every once in a while, the universe pays you back.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
That is very cool. Susan, thank you so much for calling. We're almost at to the end of our show, so we have to let both of you go. Susan, you can visit Dr. Dingman at itunespsychic.com and find out more about where he'll be soon.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Susan. Thank you, Dr. Dingman.
Bye, doctor. Bye.
Thank you both. That was wonderful, Dr. Dingman. You did a really wonderful segment tonight. We appreciate all your time. I know that we kept you a little bit longer than we thought.
That's okay, Patty. I'm actually headed to Home Depot. I need to pick up some plywood, and the prices drop at midnight, so you actually did me a favor.
Well, grab a hot dog if you can, because they usually have good hot dogs there.
They're delicious. Out here, so they make a chorizo. It's to die for.
Now I need to go stop and get a hot dog on the way home. Mm. Dr. Dingman, we will talk to you again soon. Everyone, go visit Dr. Dingman at itunespsychic.com and on Twitter at itunespsychic. Have a wonderful evening, doctor.
Thank you, you too. Thanks, and good night, everyone in America.
Till we vibrate again together soon. More after this on 720 WGN. We got to get right to it because the show's almost over. Let's go ahead and put that call into... We tried calling Brian Quijada last night, and he is leaving town. He just finished his run of Where Did We Sit on the Bus? And we want to see if maybe we can talk to him before he leaves town. We left a message for him last night. We only have about 2 minutes. Nick D is up next. Dan Feinberg of The Hollywood Reporter talks about The Walking Dead and The People versus O.J. Simpson when he joins Nick D after 2:15. And, we have the phone ringing. Wait, what's that? We got to see if we can get him on the air before it's time for us to go away. Yep, the phone's ringing. This is an exciting part of the show now. I mean, I do miss dancing. We'll get back to dancing and what we meant to get to. But
Hello?
There you are. Hi, Brian Quijada. We only have a minute left. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm doing amazing. How are you, Patty?
Very well. Congratulations on your very successful run of Where Do We Sit on the Bus? How was closing night?
Thank you so much. It was amazing. It felt, it was amazing. It was amazing to do that show in, like, the city of Chicago. Like, you know, like, people from my past came.
Including the teacher that inspired the entire show.
Exactly. That was amazing. It was amazing to reconnect with her. And also super scary. My brother is here, by the way. You remember my brother, Marvin.
Marvin, of course. We just became friends on Facebook, so very happy to know Marvin.
Absolutely. Lovely to talk to you.
Thank you. And thank you for inviting me to your reading of your play, by the way. Really wonderful job.
Oh, my God. Thank you for being there. That's amazing.